those rosy expectations did start to go away pretty quickly in 2024. It took one hotter than expected inflation print.
Welcome to Views from the Desk, a special edition of the BMO ETFs podcast. In these timely episodes, we provide the latest investment news and commentary on the markets, the economy, and investing. Brought to you by BMO Global Asset Management.
The Bank of Canada kept its benchmark rate at 5% for the fifth consecutive time, saying it's, quote, too early for cuts. In today's episode, portfolio managers Om Kolmorkar, Matt Montemuro, and your host, Erica Toth, examine the dynamics of inflation and explore what the future could hold. They also discuss tailwinds in the utility sector, a barbell strategy to add duration, and Japan's market outlook. Before we hear from the team, please consider subscribing to Views from the Desk on your preferred podcast platform. And for many more ETF insights and resources, visit BMOETFs.com. That's BMOETFS.com.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 215 of our BMO ETFs weekly Views from the Desk podcast. I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us and providing us with your questions and your comments every week. I'm Erica Toth. I'm Director of ETF Distribution for Eastern Canada at BMO Global Asset Management, and I'll be your host for today. And I'll be joined by my colleagues, Om Kolmorkar and Matt Montemuro, both portfolio managers at BMO ETFs. So Matt, let's kick things off with you. Today, which is Wednesday this week, the Bank of Canada made their latest announcement. Perhaps you could walk us through what happened at that meeting and what was announced.
Absolutely, Erica. It was another non-event announcement by the Bank of Canada this week. You know, the higher rates for longer, that continues. They once again held rates steady at 5%. So, you know, we've been in this holding pattern for some time now. There are some positives from the announcement today. They did say that it's still too early to consider lowering rates, but Governor Macklin acknowledged that the higher interest rate policy was working as expected and was making its way through the economy. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. They're identifying that, you know what, we're not ready to cut yet, but they're also hinting at, you know, cuts are going to be coming in the future. You know, if you look at the economy remains weak and inflation has eased, which is good, since the last rate decision in January. All in all, we're moving in the right direction. I think the Bank of Canada is quite comfortable with the direction we're moving. In further to the announcement and the communications released afterwards, the officials marked that they are lowering their assessments of both core inflation and wage growth. So again, Bank of Canada is telling us that they like what they see in the economy. They like the impact that these higher rates are having, and that it, you know, basically it's a matter of time for when cuts are coming. But with that being said, it wasn't all roses. The Governing Council is still concerned about the stickiness in underlying inflation. They want to see more cooling in price pressures before they commit anything to cutting rates. So it seems like the officials are only half willing. They're willing to half step toward a more balanced approach to monetary policy today. They're kind of inching toward rate cuts, but they definitely are not ready to outright say, you know, we've won the battle with inflation. You know, inflation is still a concern, and we saw what that market reaction was to a slightly hotter print in December. So, you know, just that reaction alone, you know, seeing rate expectations swing so wildly, you know, I think the Bank of Canada is quite clear. They don't want to announce an early victory yet. So they do seem to say that we're well on our way to normalization, but, you know, patience is key. And I think that higher for longer is really coming to fruition. Overall, the Bank of Canada wasn't ready to make a significant change in its message and thinks it's too early to make that change in terms of being willing to cut rates. However, the rate announcement and the opening statement did acknowledge that conditions for rate cuts are coming clearer into sight. So this is kind of BOC messaging saying, we're getting there. Just be patient. You know, And I think right now, if you look at where markets are pricing in, we're seeing three rate cuts priced in for 2024, with the first cut coming in July. So, you know, those July expectations have been pretty firm for the last few months. You know, we'll talk about that a little bit later with what we saw to start the year. But, you know, July's expectations, you know, that's been pretty firm in the market's mind. And you know, I think it's going to continue to be data dependent. CPI numbers are going to be a huge telling sign to see, you know, if and when we start to see those cuts. But regardless of when that first cut comes, the market expects successive cuts after that. So it's basically when the BOC opens that door, the market is expecting it to open the door and cut rates at multiple meetings in a row. So that's something to keep an eye on. You know, when do they open that door? Right now, the market's saying July.
Thanks, Matt.
Explore the next frontier of investments where innovation meets opportunity. In episode 211 of the Views from the Desk podcast, we take a deep dive into buffer ETFs, starting with the fundamentals, including how they work and where they fit into a portfolio. Listen now on your preferred podcast platform. And for more information about buffer ETFs, visit bmogam.com. That's bmogam.com.
Let's shift over to you on the equity side. I wanted to talk to you more specifically about one of the rate-sensitive areas of the equity market, the utilities sector. These companies have lagged the broad market in 2023, where we saw a historical rate increase. They're still lagging into 2024. So I want to get your sense of what your outlook is for 2024 for the utilities sector.
Like you mentioned, yeah, 2023 was definitely a tough year for utility companies. And one of the main reasons for them to lag was the, you know, rising interest rates due to inflation. And we only saw kind of, you know, the rising interest rate environment stop in November when you know, we saw kind of Feds put a pause on the hiking cycle. But another reason for the lag in 2023 was, you know, growth and more growth, right? We saw a lot of investments flow into the growth sector, and that was mainly driven by AI technology fueled growth rally. So which prompted a lot of money to flow from traditionally stable or defensive sectors such as utilities to more growth oriented sectors like technology. So that was kind of the, you know, two main reasons for the utility sectors lagging in 2023. Looking into 2024 and ahead, you know, there are some tailwinds for the sector. First is the interest rate dynamics. So, you know, just to cover how interest rates relate to utility sector, you know, utility stocks have exhibited an inverse relationship with interest rates. So with share prices often declining when interest rates rise, and conversely, declining interest rates tend to make utility dividends and utility share prices look more attractive, you know, relative to bond yields. That being said, you know, as Matt mentioned previously, you know, expectations of rate cuts are priced in starting July and onwards. So if we do see these rate cuts starting to materialize, we could see a positive impact on utility stocks, providing a tailwind for their performance. Second is kind of the long-term growth story around utilities and the renewable energy transition. Not just 2024, but looking beyond 2024, the utility sector presents a compelling long-term growth story. Utilities stand to benefit from an ongoing transition away from carbon-based fuels towards a more renewable energy sources. So factors such as technological advancements, increased economies of scales in renewable energy, and in the US particularly, we've seen government incentives to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, which is, you know, which helps a lot of these utility companies move away from their carbon-based revenue more towards this renewable energy. And as renewable energy becomes more increasingly economical and accessible, you know, utilities positioned to capitalize on this shift are likely to experience revenue growth which translates into earnings growth, and which translates into dividend growth over the long term. Speaking on renewable energy, we have seen companies such as NextEra Energy, which are poised to benefit from this clean energy transition. But we've also seen other sources of energy, such as nuclear energy, and companies such as Southern Company, which will play a crucial role in bridging the energy gap. So there's still a lot of good tailwinds for a lot of these companies. And again, you know, 2023 was a unique year given the high inflation, given the rising interest rates. That being said, you know, there are still headwinds in the short to medium term. One being sticky inflation. If the data keeps coming to be very resilient and we see markets not doing it, or, you know, markets starting to move the rate cut pricing away from July to maybe end of 2024, it could be a headwind for utility companies. And secondly, the other one is the U.S. election, which is November 2024. And it can happen, you know, depending on who wins. And from the looks of it, it looks like a rematch between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And depending on who wins the election, it can have a positive or negative impact on utility companies. To give you an example, you know, if Donald Trump wins, we can see, you know, less regulations around energy companies and less focus on renewable energy and more focus on, you know, carbon-based fuel sources or carbon-based energy. That being said, you know, investors have a few ways, you know, to get exposure in this sector. One, you know, if for investors who are more defensive and want more income on a monthly basis, you know, ZWU, which is the BMO covered call utilities ETF, is a great way to play the get that exposure. It provides exposure to utility companies, not just in Canada, but also US, and at the same time has a covered call overlay on top to provide extra income. The ETF yields around 8% on an annualized basis. For clients who do not want that extra income, can get exposure through ZUT, which is the BMO Equal Weight Utility Index, which yields around 4.7%. So again, you know, I think there's a few good tailwinds for the sector in 2024 and forward. Few good options to be able to get that exposure into the portfolio.
Thanks for that, Om. Let's go back over to you, Matt, on the bond side. We started out 2024 with the market pricing in 6 rate cuts from the Fed. The data has been surprisingly resilient. And as you mentioned, you know, the cuts have continued to be pushed out further into the year. So maybe you could talk to us about market expectations now versus in the beginning of January, and also what that means for investors when they're positioning their fixed income portfolios.
So to start the year, the market was pricing in 6 rate cuts for both Canada and the US for 2024, with the first cut coming in Canada in March. You know, these seemed like optimistic expectations at the time, but, you know, the market was flying high. We saw a strong Q4 in a very strong December, and market optimism of rate cuts, no landing scenario were definitely the topic of the day. You know, those expectations, those rosy expectations did start to go away pretty quickly in 2024. It took one hotter than expected inflation print to quickly reverse some of those rate cut expectations and really push cut rate cuts further and further out the year. And that's what we've seen the trend so far this year, is just getting rate cuts going from March to April to June. And now right now, the market is pricing in 3 cuts for the year starting in July. So a lot of market participants are saying, has the pendulum swung too far? Are we going to see more than 3 rate cuts this year, you know, whether it starts in July or not? So that's something to consider as we look forward in the year and in terms of our fixed income positioning. You know, we do see and expect to see successive cuts. But if we start in July, it does mean that the Bank of Canada is going to have to raise at 3 of their last 4 meetings. So, you know, is that possible? Absolutely. I think a lot of market participants think that the Bank of Canada, once they come and that door is open, that they'll call multiple times, between three and four times. So that's where you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, if we see more cuts than expected, how do you want to position yourself? Well, that's when you want duration in your portfolio. And the fact that the Bank of Canada is pricing in maybe less monetary easing than the US right now could be a tell as well, because you look at the US economy versus the US economy is doing extremely well, much better than the Canadian economy, and they're expecting more cuts than we are in Canada. So that's something that a lot of market participants are saying, that's interesting. At a minimum, I would expect Canada to align with the US, if not cut more or faster than the US. So that's something to think about as we look forward in terms of our positioning. You know, at this point, we've seen the bond market continue to be volatile this year, especially long duration bonds, as we've seen rates rise as rate cut expectations are moved out further out the year. So if I look forward, I think considering adding duration to portfolio is starting to make a lot of sense right now. We've seen some volatility. We are, let's call it 3 months away from potentially the first cut. And I think a lot of investors should start getting their head around when they might want to add duration to their portfolio. We expect rates to come down this year, and we expect them, if it's going to be 3 months, that's the near term, which would lead duration assets to perform well. And if you believe that the pendulum has swung too far, as I was saying, and that we're going to see more than three cuts, so basically the Bank of Canada comes and cuts in July, and then they do it at each of the successive meetings after that, you definitely want to add that duration and really get that duration pop in your portfolio and lead to some outperformance from the fixed income side of your portfolio. So I would be looking to find an opportunity to add duration in the near term. I'd probably look opportunistically and see, okay, is there a day where we see rates pop by 25 basis points? You see the 10-year and 30-year get to that 350, 375 level. And that might be the time where we want to look to start considering adding duration. From a couple of options, I look at ZAG, our BMO Aggregate Bond Fund ETF. That continues to be well positioned for today. You could put on that position right now. You'd have some protection from the short end because of that full curve exposure, but you'd be able to take advantage of the 7-year duration of ZAG and really take advantage of rate cuts when they come later this year. So, it's a little bit of everything, but I think now's the time. If you were sitting on the sidelines in cash in a GIC or a HISA, now might be the time to add that duration to your portfolio and preparing for the year ahead. I think ZAG is going to perform extremely well on a 1-year time horizon. There just might be some short-term volatility that you have to sustain. Another strategy would be to use a barbell here, pairing ZST, so BMO Ultra Short Term Bond Fund, and ZFL, or BMO Long Federal Bond Fund. Pairing these ETFs, both ultra short and long duration, that would enable you to capture an attractive yield in the short end with ZST, so about 5.3% yield to maturity, and pair it with some long duration exposure for when we see rates come down. So it's kind of the best of both worlds while you're protecting yourself on the short end, but really earning a very, very attractive yield there, best than you could get probably almost across the entire curve. But then you're also setting yourself up for future upside for when rate cuts come to fruition. So while we aren't there yet, we believe it's time to start looking at adding duration back to portfolios. And that's going to be a conversation that I expect to have for much of Q2.
Thanks, Matt.
Want to reduce the risk of market timing or increase near-term growth? Our new range of BMO Structured Outcome ETFs can help you dial down risk or dial up equity returns. To learn more, visit BMOETFs.com and search for tickers ZJAN, ZOCT, ZUEA, and ZEBA.
Going back to you, I want to talk to you about Japan. It had very strong outperformance in 2023, even outperformed the U.S. markets. So I want to know what your outlook is going forward for the Japanese equity market. What are your thoughts there?
Japan ZJPN .F, which is the BMO Japan Index ETF hedged to CAD, was up approximately 33.5% in 2023. So it was definitely a strong year. And on top of it, this year, the Nikkei 225 index, which is Japan's main stock index, actually hit an all-time high after about 35 years. So the last time the index was at this level was in 1989. So it's definitely a strong move for Japan stocks. And there, I would say, two main reasons for it. One is on the corporate governance side, and second is more economic and demographic shift. Let's start with the corporate governance. Corporate governance Japan has undergone a remarkable change, and that was mainly because it was spurred by initiatives launched over a decade ago. So it did take them a long time, but they, you know, in 2023, the Tokyo Stock Exchange introduced a bold policy initiative aimed at enhancing corporate value. So this initiative centered around, you know, on cost of capital management, capital efficiency, which ignited a wave of positive change across the Japanese corporate landscape. Companies, you know, are focusing on more transparency under this, you know, initiative, more transparency, more accountability, and value creation, and making sure that their corporate strategies align with shareholder interests. And this greater push for disclosure and scrutiny has fostered a culture of corporate governance, which should benefit investors in the medium to long term. And because of these changes that happened in 2023, we did see large investment flows from foreign funds into Japanese stocks in expectations for these stock market reforms in 2023. So that was one of the main reasons we saw a lot of flows going in and having a very positive outlook for Japanese stocks. Second, you know, continuing on the governance side was the reduction of cross shareholdings. So one of the most notable developments in Japan's corporate landscape is the reduction of cross shareholdings by iconic companies like Toyota. So in Japan, the culture was to, you know, one public company would hold shares of another public company, and that would cause a lot of, you know, it didn't really put shareholder interest at the top. But this shift signals a departure from, you know, these traditional business practices towards a more shareholder-friendly structures. And as companies start to unwind these cross shareholdings and prioritize value creation, you know, we think, you know, this will unlock more potential for growth and, you know, actually, I would say sustainable growth for a lot of these companies. Now, moving to more kind of the economic and demographic side of things. So if you look at kind of Japan's demographic, we know they have a very aging population, you know, and it has, you know, tended to restrain domestic growth and inflation. And although Japan has some unique advantages combating this drag relative to other countries. So give you an example, you know, unlike many of the developed economies where domestic population is the largest customer base, more than half of the sales of Japanese companies are outside of Japan. So they are able to mitigate a lot of this aging a lot of the demand because a lot of their demand's outside of Japan. So even though they have an aging population, you know, it doesn't impact them as severely as, you know, if it was the case in Canada or the US. Second, because of these governance changes, we are seeing a lot more capital spending, which could boost output per worker in Japan, which would translate into more productivity, which translates into higher revenues, better margins, which translates again into, you know, the bottom line, providing better returns for shareholders. And, you know, speaking of inflation, you know, Japan is undergoing, you know, I would say economic transformation as it transitions from a prolonged period of deflation to a new era of inflation. And this shift represents a seismic change in Japan's economic trajectory with a lot of implications for investors. You know, we saw the BOJ or Bank of Japan commitment to policy normalization, where, you know, they had negative rates for a really long time, and their commitment to policy normalization in the coming month of April. And it underscores, you know, the importance of this transition. And as inflation starts to take hold, policymakers are closely monitoring, you know, wage growth, productivity as a key indicator for sustained inflationary pressures. And the emergence of inflationary forces is reshaping consumer behavior there, reshaping investment strategies and market dynamics, which presents another opportunity for investors in the Japanese stock market. That being said, you know, looking ahead, the medium to long-term outlook for Japanese equities based on these changes looks attractive. The convergence of improved corporate governance practices, transition to inflationary dynamic positions, make it look attractive compared to other Asian markets. And for investors who are looking to gain exposure to the country, there is ZJPN, which is BMO Japan Index ETF. For investors who are looking for a more diversified exposure, but want that Japanese country exposure, there's also ZEA, which is BMO MSCI EFI Index ETF, and which has an approximate allocation of about 24% in Japanese companies. And this provides a more balanced exposure, given that it has exposure to other countries. So if there is a bit of a pullback in Japan, you know, you can get diversification benefit by holding some of the other non-Asian countries.
Thanks, Om. That is all the time we have for today. I would like to thank our listeners again for joining us. Thank you again to Matt and to Om for sharing their insights on recent market events and their outlook going forward. Till next time, take care, everyone.
Thank you to Erica Toth, Om Kalmurkar, and Matt Montemuro for joining us on the BMO ETFs podcast. Today, we heard about the BMO Covered Call Utilities ETF, ticker ZWU, which invests in a diversified portfolio of utilities, including telecommunications and pipeline companies, while earning call option premiums. The team also discussed ways to add duration to your portfolio. The BMO Aggregate Bond Index ETF, ticker ZAG, or ZAG, provides full-term exposure, offering protection on the short end of the curve and exposure to longer duration, which can help you take advantage of cuts if and when they come. For more information about the other ETFs discussed in this podcast, check out the episode notes, contact your regional BMO ETF specialist, or visit the ETF Center at BMOETFs.com. That's BMOETFS.com.
Views from the Desk has been brought to you by BMO Global Asset Management.
The viewpoints expressed by the portfolio managers represent their assessment of the markets at the time of publication. Those views are subject to change without notice at any time without any kind of notice. The information contained herein is not and should not be construed as investment, tax, or legal advice to any party. Investments should be evaluated relative to the individual's investment objectives, and professional advice should be obtained with respect to any circumstance. Any statement that necessarily depends on future events may be a forward-looking statement. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. Commissions, management fees, and expenses, if any, all may be associated with investments in exchange-traded funds. Please read the ETF facts or prospectus before investing. Exchange-traded funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. BMO Global Asset Management is a brand name under which BMO Asset Management, Inc. and BMO Investments, Inc. operate.